What a night. There was good news for liberal candidates and ominous signs for the Democratic machine in the Bronx, the Hudson Valley, central New York. Joining us with who won, who lost, and some details are two reporters who have been following the issues and the candidates. We have John Campbell, a reporter for in the Albany Bureau of the USA Today Network. It's great to see you, John Campbell.
Great to see you, Susan Arbetter.
Robert Harding is a political reporter for the Auburn Citizen. Great to hear you, Robert Harding.
Great to be with you, Susan. Great to see you, John.
Great to hear you, Robert.
All right, so I'm good. Everybody's here. I want to start with the upset of the night, John. Joe Crowley, one of the most powerful congressional Democrats, went down in flames to an almost unknown candidate who's a member of the Socialist Party of America.
Yeah, it's really hard to overstate how powerful Joe Crowley was, both in Washington and in New York City. He was the head of the Queens Democrats. He was a power broker in the true sense of the word, really from the old school of New York City politics, when there were power brokers that kind of ran things in the Democratic Party. So he'd served 10 terms in Congress. This is his 10th term in Congress. He was going for an 11th. And he was defeated by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's 28 years old. She's poised to become the youngest woman ever elected to Congress, beating another New York congresswoman, which we may get to her race too, Elise Stefanik. And she is. She identifies as a Democratic Socialist. She was challenging Joe Crowley from her left. She supported Medicare for all. She supported the abolishment of ICE, which has become a major issue in the last couple of weeks. She stunned the political world.
Outspent 10-1
yeah.
by the establishment candidate. We might get to that in a moment. I want to move up the Northway, or up the Thruway, rather, to the seven-way primary in the 19th Congressional District. John, there was another example of voters turning their backs, really, on establishment Democrats, or at least the governor. Why did Antonio Delgado win the race when Gareth Rhodes had the support of the Times and was a Cuomo pick?
Well, Gareth Rhodes had the support of the Times. He was, you know, he was a Cuomo aide, but that's not terribly helpful in a district that voted strongly for Zephyr Teachout in 2014. I don't know how much that actually helped him, and it probably hurt him in that district. But he was vastly outspent. I mean, Antonio Delgado had raised about $2 million, which is really significant in a seven-way primary, and he was really viewed as one of the front runners going into the race. And he came out on top. He got more than 20% of the vote in a seven-way primary, and he'll be going on to take John Faso in the fall.
Delgado is a candidate of color. The 19th congressional is 84% white. Race did not seem to be a factor at all in the primary. Will it be in the general?
Is it a factor? I mean, I think we're kind of naive to say it's not a factor, and it very well could be. But this is a particularly even split among Democrats and Republicans in that district. It's almost 50-50. And that is a district that Democrats are going to try very, very heavily to take. You are going to be, if you're in that district, and it is, there are a lot of, it's a widespread district that goes from the kind of the...
Oh, it's massive.
Yeah, it goes from Broome County to up near almost to Albany and down to Poughkeepsie. I mean, it's a huge district. You are going to be inundated with TV ads coming this fall.
Right. Have fun with that. Robert, let's head to the 24th Congressional, where they're also going to be inundated with ads. This is where Dana Balter ran against Juanita Perez Williams. Can you tell us what the margin was in this race?
It was a 26-point win for Balter.
Oh, so it was a runaway win.
Yeah. It was in terms of raw vote total, it was just about 5,600 votes separated the two.
There were not very many policy differences between these two candidates, so why was Balter victorious?
She won really with a grassroots campaign, a traditional grassroots campaign. She had a strong volunteer base. She hasn't raised a huge sum of money since entering the race last September. I think to date she's raised a little over $300,000. Hmm. So she's really relied on this grassroots group of supporters. She's mentioned the number close to 800 helped her pass petitions, and that number seems to have carried over to the primary. And they just did it with phone calls, going door to door, She had an effective volunteer effort to help turn out the vote. I was just on the phone with one of the volunteers a short while ago who said they were still making calls at 7 p.m. last night. The polls close at 9 p.m. in New York, of course, and so they did not let anything go. They didn't take anything for granted, and they kept the phone calls going. They kept going door to door, and that's really what propelled her to victory.
So I did look at Open Secrets, and it seems like Balter raised more than Juanita Perez in the last few months. I mean, she's been in the race longer than Perez Williams, but still, this is a pretty second stinging loss in the span of, you know, 6 or 7 months for Juanita Perez Williams. Did she speak about that last night at all?
She spoke at her event, I believe, but she didn't speak to me afterwards. But it is certainly on the heels of that loss, which was the first time in two decades a Democrat has lost the mayoral race. That certainly was a tough defeat. She talked about that often on the campaign trail, while also trying to say that she was battle tested, that she had been through this process before. Of course, before that general election last year, she won the primary, and she wasn't the designated candidate, so she was trying to draw parallels with that. But in the end, Balter was in this race longer, and despite having the National Party support, Perez Williams had the National Party support, she couldn't get it over the finish line, and Balter's campaign and the infrastructure she built was too much.
Let's head up to the North Country. This is the district that Elise Stefanik represents, the 21st. Tedra Cobb was victorious. This was another pretty populated primary. What can you tell us about Tedra Cobb?
Yeah, that's another one where Tedra Cobb was viewed as one of the front runners in a crowded five-way race. She's a St. Lawrence County legislator, and she cruised to a win there. I mean, she defeated Dylan Radigan, for example, who was the MSNBC former MSNBC host. There were three others in that race that she easily defeated. That sets up a race between two women in the fall with Elise Stefanik, who is the Republican who was at one point the youngest woman elected to Congress when she was 30. And that is one that, you know, Democrats have had their eye on for a long time. That district, you know, it was configured differently, but it used to be represented by Bill Owens, a Democrat. And so it's going back and forth between right. Democrats and Republicans, and that's one that Democrats are going to try to flip in their bid to take back the House.
Just like the 24th. It's also gone back and forth. They're called pivot districts. So, Robert, let's move over to Rochester. This is considered a pretty safe Democratic district. It was represented by the late Louise Slaughter, the venerable congresswoman from Rochester. What happened there?
Joe Morelli, the Assembly Majority Leader, won the primary in convincing fashion. I think it was a four-way race, but he outlasted the three other opponents in the race and won the Democratic primary, which certainly puts him in a strong position to represent the 25th district going forward.
So, John, I read in the Democrat and Chronicle, actually, that the turnout was really good for you know, a primary, 19% or something pathetic like that.
Yeah, Democratic primary, particularly in a split primary, you know, this was only the congressional races.
Right, yeah.
19% is pretty good, but that's pretty sad commentary. You know, and Joe Morelli, he did, he ran away with it. He got 40-something percent in a four-way race. He beat Rachel Barnhart, a former TV reporter, Robin Wilt, and Adam McFadden.
Was it, Robert, was it a kind of ugly race there for a little while? There were some allegations of ignoring sexual harassment claims and things like that, or rape claims, actually.
Yeah, that certainly came up going back to, I believe it was the Boxley case in the early 2000s and what Morelli said or didn't say about it at the time, and how he responded to that, and he was really hit on that, especially Rachel Barnhart, I know, mentioned that often during the campaign, and how Morelli should have done more. He should have spoken out about this, but yeah, it did certainly was an issue during the campaign, but it didn't seem to affect him on primary election night.
Also, Robert, there was a contingent of primary challengers coming out against Congressman Tom Reed. They're, I guess, neck and neck, and they're going to have to wait until absentee ballots are counted. Max Della Pia and Tracy Mitrano. Is there anything you can tell us about this race?
Yeah, it again, one of these crowded primaries, and it shows that, you know, we were just talking about turnout in one of the races, but it shows that every vote really does count. And in this one, they're separated by, based on my tally I have here, by about 26 votes. So, yeah, it'll come down to absentees, and we'll have to wait a little while to see who the Democratic nominee is in that district to go against Tom Reed.
And whomever does come out in that district, they're going to have a tough race ahead. I mean, Tom Reed is he's in a very strong position for reelection. He's in a very Republican district that stretches from the Elmira area the whole way to the western southern tier, I suppose you could say.
And he's in a pretty powerful position in Congress, and he's on that bipartisan caucus.
He is, yeah, and he's, you know, he's
problem solvers, right?
Yes, he's pretty conservative. I mean, the district went for Trump by 15 points in 2016, and went for Romney in 2012, although that was a pretty even split with Obama. So. It's a pretty safely Republican district, but crazier things have happened.
All right. So last question. Someone tweeted out this morning, Ed Cox, the chairman of the New York State Republican Party, is in a good mood this morning, indicating that he's probably happy about the very liberal candidates that were elected in this primary. What do you think about that, John?
Well, I think he's primarily probably happy that Dan Donovan won in Staten Island. You know, he's the incumbent Republican there. He faced a challenge from Michael Grimm, who used to hold the seat, then went to prison, and now is trying to get the seat, was trying to get the seat back. You know, the conventional wisdom was that Donovan presented a stronger candidate in the fall against a Democratic challenger, and I think that's probably why Ed Cox is most happy today.
And no reporters were killed or hurt during this primary
election.
No
one was thrown off a balcony.
Not yet, anyway. We've been speaking with John Campbell, reporter in the Albany Bureau of the USA Today Network, and Robert Harding, a political reporter for the Auburn Citizen. Thanks so much, you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.